Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about the ghosts of the Old Park Hotel. Do you feel like there's rooms in the Old Park Hotel that are definitely more active than other rooms?
There are. The whole building is haunted, though. I will tell you, usually when people come in, they'll ask me, they're like, where are the hot spots, more or less? Where do things happen more than other areas? And I will tell people that it can happen anywhere. I can happen right here in the lobby where we're talking. That's the funny thing about it. We never know where the next paranormal event is going to occur, but sometimes it happens right there in the front of the building. Some people sometimes will be investigating. They'll pick their rooms upstairs because that's where all the bedrooms are. And things start happening to them. They start getting a little freaked out. Next thing you know, they're not sleeping in their rooms upstairs. They're sleeping on the couches downstairs in the presentation room, thinking that they're safe by sleeping on the couches. I've had people yanked off the couches down there. Sometimes they get their arms grabbed, they get pulled on the floor off the couch. So you just don't know where it's going to come at you. I would tend to say that our most active area, though, is upstairs in the back, where we have our doll room, our infamous doll room, and a bunch of other rooms. And one of the outlaws, Jim the Deacon Miller, who very famous history with Ballinger, and he's portrayed to be probably the worst outlaw out of the Old West, was directly linked to Ballinger and directly linked to our building. So he's there, and he's very cunning, and he's very sneaky how he does things. So that would be probably our most active area upstairs in the back. That's where a lot of things happen.
And you said there's a doll room. Do you have a lot of dolls in the, something about old dolls kind of freaks me out, but
a lot of dolls is probably an understatement.
One of those kind of rooms.
It's hard to describe. It's just say there are a lot of them. How it happened was people started donating dolls to us in the very beginning. People would just show up, but it'd be like, we have dolls for you. And I felt kind of hard to say no to these people because they were donating. So I thought at one point we had a toy room back there because we do have child spirits. We have about five of them. And a lot of things happen in this room. So I figured, you know, if we start putting these things in there, activity will probably increase. And over 7 years, it's amazing all the dolls we have. I think at this point I have about 14 real haunted dolls that have come from other locations that are now sitting in that room with all the other dolls.
I was going to ask you about that because it seems to me that would be a great opportunity to get rid of the creepy doll that's bugging you in your own home and say, here's a doll for your haunted location. So you really do feel like some of them, there's a little bit more going on with some of those dolls?
I think I have brought more energy into the building. Not necessarily bad energy, just more energy. I don't really feel anything really bad with any of them, but you walk into that room and you can feel the energy. It's just there's one particular doll when you get really close to her, you can feel the anxiety. It just kind of takes you over. And she just, I don't know, the closer you get to her, the more anxiety you feel. And after a while, you have to leave the room. If you're like standing in that room all by yourself, you get pretty overwhelmed after a while. I always tell people when they go back there to be careful, you know, don't do anything crazy. Don't dare them. Don't do anything like that. You know, just go back there and study them. You have to have a photographic memory in that room because they change positions all the time. So you'll go in there and by doing that, you'll notice if things have moved or you know, there's one doll in there will go from one place to another place totally. So sometimes he's on one side of the room, other times he's on the other side of the room.
Do you have a camera in there?
Wish I did. Now that you tell me, it's probably a good idea to put one in there. I've never thought about that.
That'd be interesting.
I'd probably pick up all sorts of things. Yeah.
How does that happen? You know, because something wasn't there and then it's there. And how did it get there? It was not there. So it'd be interesting to see how it moves.
I have these two dolls that came in from Louisiana from a house. They couldn't deal with the dolls anymore. And they're just two normal looking dolls, but they do kind of freak you out when you're looking at them. But the main thing that was told to me about them was that they cannot be separated. They have to be together. So I told some groups in the building, I told them the same story about not being separated. And guess what some of the groups did? They separated the dolls.
Did anything happen?
Yes, a lot of stuff.
Like what?
Too much to explain to you. Let's just say the groups did not have them separated for too long. They put them back together because of all the stuff that was happening.
That's interesting that you would even figure out that, I guess at some point you've got these two creepy dolls and then you put one in one room and one in another room and maybe weird things start happening. But it just seems like it would take a little bit to figure out that the dolls need to stay together.
Yeah.
I guess a little trial and error had to have occurred.
They just decided to experiment and without really telling me. And you know, they were very careful with the dolls. But later they were like, you know, coming to me, telling me all these stories of things that happened when they did it. And they got really nervous to put the dolls back together. You just don't know, you know, you don't know what kind of energies or type of things that are coming with these. Even when we did a Death Walker with Nick Groth, when he investigated the old park, he was there for 2 days, two nights. He even told me, he's like, Dan, you brought in a lot more energy into this building. So he felt it big time.
Did you have any, or do you, I should say, have any reservations about that when people come to you and say, we've got these two creepy ass dolls and they'd want to stay together and we thought you'd like to have them. Do you feel sometimes like that's just too much? Have you told anyone, no, I can't take that one? That one is too creepy.
I have actually turned down dolls because I've had other people, because of what I've done over the years, people have contacted me and they're like, well, I have this doll that does this. Can you take it? And I'm kind of to the point where I don't want to take any more, mainly because I don't have any more room to put them because that room is already so packed. And I've already had to spread out some dolls around the buildings, and it's making people, I think it's starting to make people a little nervous because some people just aren't not into dolls, period.
I understand that, especially old dolls. There's something about them. They just feel to me like they're watching you and judging you and all of the things. How many would you even guesstimate that you have?
Probably between 30 and 40 of them.
So quite a few.
Yes, quite a few.
Although that is a public service you're doing for people. These people, I mean, if I had a haunted doll and I didn't know what to do with it and you were willing to take it, I would send you a gift basket.
Sometimes I don't tell people about their room. Sometimes I take them on a tour when they first come in. Sometimes they don't want a tour and they just want to walk around. Usually when they walk into that room, the first thing you hear is like, oh, wow.
That would be me. I would be, oh, I think I would have a run kind of reaction.
Right. And this is upstairs in the back. And you're well past spooky feeling at that point. And then you walk back down there and you walk into that room. That's just adds more to it.
After you bought the hotel, and I mean, you had the feelings and because I'm one of those people, I can sense it. I can walk in someplace and I can be like, this is not right. Did it take you long to realize, oh, this is definitely haunted?
Yes. Day one, me and my wife and a friend of ours, after we bought the building, it was like a whirlwind. It's like all of a sudden there we were. I'm like, we did it. Now we have a building. Now what? The first thing was the work that needed to be done. She had sold a lot of the antiques. We had bought a lot of them. The building needed a lot of work in the very beginning. The biggest thing was it only had one air conditioner in the very beginning. So you can imagine how hot that building was. So I needed to figure out that air conditioning situation pretty quick. And over time, we have a lot of air conditioners now, so we've definitely solved that. That first day was a Saturday. It was very sunny outside. I had a checklist in my hand, and a friend had just showed up because he wanted to see the building, and we were just walking around. We weren't talking ghosts. The building was all sunny inside. We weren't talking spookiness. We weren't talking anything. We were just talking about what needed to be done. And we're walking down the main hallway, and we're just standing there. And then all of a sudden, we start to hear what sounds like an old speaker starting to crackle, like staticky sound. And we're looking around going, what is that? And we're just kind of looking at each other, looking at the wall, looking at the ceiling, trying to figure out where the sound is coming from. And it just kept getting louder and louder and louder. And then all of a sudden, there was a loud popping noise. And then an old woman's voice fills the whole hallway, and she goes, "Hello."
What?
Yes, exactly. This was like the loudest, clearest disembodied voice that you could ever imagine. She was just like right on top of us. And she wasn't scary. She was saying it in a nice way, but it was, you know, to this day, I think she was like welcoming us. That's kind of what it felt like. And that's all we heard. That's all she said was hello, but that's all we had to hear. And it blew us away. I mean, we looked at each other and we're just like, whoa, did that just really happen?
And both of you heard it.
All three of us. We were all standing there. It was right on top of us. It was like having a fourth person in the room standing next to us yelling the word hello. That's how loud it was.
That is crazy.
Yeah. We ran outside. We looked everywhere. There wasn't anybody else around. And it was clearly in the hallway with us. You know how you can be in buildings sometimes and hear people talking outside. You can tell it's outside.
Right.
This was like in the hallway, like a few feet away from us. And it was just so loud. I mean, she was like right on top of us.
Yeah, because it's interesting because you can hear, you can tell when something's outside. You can tell when it's behind you, in front of you. It came from downstairs. You kind of get a sense of where the sound comes from, no matter where you're at.
Yes. And the interesting part about it, when I analyzed it afterwards, obviously we weren't recording. I wish we were. We weren't prepared for that moment. A lot of times you aren't. The staticky sound that I was describing to you and how it got louder and how there was a popping noise, it makes me wonder if that is the so-called, people talk about the veil that's in between our world and their world. And sometimes you hear these weird popping noises or very loud staticky noises. You got to wonder, you know, is that what we're hearing? Are they breaking the void? Is that what that noise is?
That makes some sense, actually.
Yeah.
And then the voice could be from, it's just kind of all around you.
It's all around. That's exactly the way it sounded. We couldn't really pinpoint exactly where she was, but it was like right on top of us, if that makes any sense. Like she could have been standing above us. Wow. I mean, that's the way it sounded to us.
So at this point, you've had the hotel for several years, and the activity, probably my guess is it changes day to day. You have different experiences still all the time when you go there.
I was just saying it the other day, as a matter of fact, to somebody, because we have a lot of return visitors, a lot of return groups. They come back over and over and over because of all the activity, all the evidence that they get. And we've started doing things at the jail across the street as well, which was built in 1925. It's called the Old Runnels Jail. And we do a lot of donations. Well, we think our building, because of the fact that the old jail, the courthouse, and our building are so close together, we think it's all tied together as far as the history. Because again, it was the Old West. And we think that's where a lot of that history is coming from, where those spirits are coming from. They're just living, in my opinion, they're living in their own day, even though they're in our building in modern times, if that makes any sense. Have you ever seen the movie The Others?
Oh, yes.
with Nicole Kidman.
Yes, I love that. Yeah. Has the best ending to any movie ever.
Exactly. But you remember the premise in the very beginning of that movie, you think they're the real people.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're getting freaked out by what you think are the spirits. And then it turns out to be the reverse. They're the actual spirits. And the people were doing the things to the curtains, like opening the curtains and things like that. Maybe that's the way this world really is to them. You know, maybe they really don't know that they're gone. Maybe they're still reliving, you know, their time or whatever. I don't think time really exists for spirits, to be honest with you.
I don't either.
Because when you ever ask on EVPs, when you ask about dates or who was president or what year was it, you don't get a lot of those responses coming back. But you get other things like their names or what they're doing, things like that. They may not know what time period it is, or maybe they're just living things as they go along. Sometimes I wonder in our building, are we freaking them out as much as they're freaking us out? You know what I mean?
You know, I've talked to people who have said, you know, people like you who either own a building or maybe you're the paranormal tour guide, you know, you spend a lot of time there, and that they feel like the spirits accept them.
Yes.
And so they'll tell them, you know, hey, we've got a group coming in tonight. Here's kind of what you can expect. We've got this activity going on. You're going to see us walking around with candles or whatever. And they let them know because they feel like they have that kind of connection with them. And I would think that with you and your wife, as much time as you've spent there, that you would feel that connection, and they would feel it with you as well.
Yes, we do. Every time I lead a group through, psychics started telling me this years ago, and I've had some very well-renowned psychics in the building, and it's amazing the stuff that they told us that they feel. Even John Zaffis was in our hotel not too long ago, and I don't know if you've ever met him, but he's very sensitive. And of course, his uncle was Ed Warren. Johnny, when he walked into our hotel, he was like, same thing. He was feeling him like from the moment he got in there. And he was like, there's many of them here. And Johnny even told us at one point, he goes, you have many missing person cases in here.
Oh, and that's interesting.
Right. When he said that out of the blue, I was like, what? So that got my eyebrows raised, you know, but that just came out of the blue, out of what he was feeling. So that's another possible thing we can explore. The Old West, you know, that could be a possibility, because back when they played poker and they did various things, if you cheated during poker in the Old West, they would just shoot you. Mm-hmm. or knife you or just do away with your body. So that is a possibility. We don't like to think that way, but with the Old West, there were good things, but there were also bad things. So it had a little bit of everything. But what I was going to say earlier was, when I walk around with the groups, the psychics tell me that there is a very prominent woman that walks around behind me every time I'm leading a group through the building. We have a little museum area down on our first front hallway, and we have a lot of old things set up, a lot of old pictures, and I'll walk the groups down because I like to tell the stories pointing at the pictures, because it makes more sense that way. And as we're walking in the hallway, I don't really have any air conditioning up in that front hallway, just in the bedrooms and various other areas. So sometimes it gets a little warm, especially in summer. But when you're standing there, you will feel the cold spots come up on you like you won't believe. Like one moment you might be a little uncomfortable. The next moment, it's like there's a freezing spot standing right next to you. So a lot of times when I'm walking the groups through there, people will be like, oh, where's this cold spot coming from? That just came up behind me, or now it's to my side, now it's in front of me. And that's when I'll tell the group, well, it's probably the woman that's following me around. I don't know to this day who that woman is, but they just say she's very prominent, They say she's dressed to the hilt. I suspect it's one of the Seacrest sisters who owned the building after their father gave it to them. Because one of them fits that description. But they say she's very, very regal, almost like she's listening, you know, it's like she's just listening to the stories.
Do you think she was the woman who said hello to you that first day?
She might be. I really don't know. That's what's crazy. The mysteries, the fact that there's so many of them. From the very first day when she told us 30 spirits, as a paranormal investigator, I looked back at her and it's not like I was doubting her. I was like 30. I was like, come on, I can take maybe four or five, but 30.
Yeah.
And she looked me back very serious in the eyes and she goes, yeah, 30 of them. And I was being respectful of her back then, but I wasn't quite sure if I could believe 30. But I think after 7 years, I am starting to believe that. There's just so many of them.
Now, you can rent it out for overnight investigations, but you have some different things. Because there's a ghost hunt you could do. Mm-hmm. You can do an investigation with a hotel and the jail. So you can kind of set it up differently for different groups?
Correct. We rent it out for overnight groups at only $350, which is very affordable. We're just concerned with paying the bills, paying the utilities. You know, we get a lot of groups in there, you're running a lot of electricity, you're running a lot of water. Because we have running water, bathrooms, we have everything, kitchen. So you're getting some modern amenities added in with a lot of the old stuff. So it's a really good deal, you know, if you think about it, for $350 for a whole group. We're not greedy. We bought the building to share it, and we bought the building to restore it. You know, it just brings just enough money just so we can do all that, you know, and pay the bills and every once in a while have a little bit extra to buy a neat piece of furniture, something like that. Just to add things, like I have some old Victrolas and things that I put in not too long ago that people are just really enjoying. And then we started the venture with the jail across the street. We're helping them raise money. So that's just a $250 cash donation directly to the jail. So groups want to rent the old park and then reserve the jail, they can do that. They just have to let us know. Me and Connie are both members of the Runnels County Historical Commission as well. We got into that because we love history. That's what we're really about. It's just a great experience to us. And then we figured out different ways with the different events that we do, the different things we offer. Some people can't afford the group things. So we came up with what we call overnight paranormal lockdowns, where those are only $50 a person. So those are for the people that can't necessarily afford the more expensive option.
Or maybe it's just them and another person want to do it, but they don't have a group they belong to
exactly
rent it out.
Right. And they may not have equipment, you know, they may not have all these things. They might still be learning. They might be a little scared to do it alone too. That's another possibility. They might want to be with a group.
Do the people there in Ballinger, do they appreciate what you're doing? Or do they I'm sure there's some people who are like, oh, it's crazy people renting that place out saying it's haunted. But
well,
I would imagine they'd appreciate the fact that you're trying to restore it and keeping it going.
A very good friend of mine is the judge of Runnels County. And luckily she is into the paranormal. She's the one that's doing things with the jail. And this was like a 5-year venture getting us to do things with her, with the jail. So she's very open to everything, which is, you know, when you know the judge in town, you know, you're in a good spot, you know? Yeah. There are probably a few people that will walk a circle around the building just because of the fact it's haunted. Sometimes I'll look out in the street. We have a very popular restaurant next door to us. Sometimes the whole street fills up with cars, people going to the restaurant. Some people love walking by the building just so they can peek in our windows to see if they see anything. Other people walk a circle around the building. You can tell they're scared of it, but not many of them. Most people in town are very receptive. The county's very receptive. It's how you approach the paranormal and how professional you make it all. And when people realize you're raising money for restoration things, you're helping out with various things in town. We bring people from all over the country who come to Ballinger. So they're actually using the other businesses. They're going to the restaurants right. and things. So it's bringing in people, you know, it's part of the town.
And you can go to the website. And when we say Old Park Hotel, it's OLDE Park Correct. Hotel, but you can get information on the paranormal lockdown or ghost hunt or an overnight investigation, but you can also get t-shirts and hoodies. Which yes. I like that. And that money goes yes. back. So even
those
if
are
you,
very, very popular, by the way.
If our you can't make it, they look really great.
Our t-shirts sell out. Our hoodies sell out. We're getting ready to get some more hoodies in because fall's coming around. But we sold out of our last batch pretty fast. We just got hats, too. I'm sure people are going to be all over the hats as well.
Yeah. So you can help them out just by buying some merch. So you can go Correct. To their website and do all that.
It goes back into the building. Everything we make, every dollar we make, it goes back into the building. That's what it's all about.
Leave us with one more good story that you've got about the hotel.
I'll tell you something that happened a few weeks ago that really got me. Because like I tell you, things pop up all the time. There was a room I had just done. We had somebody donate a bunch of teddy bears to us. I had bags and bags and bags of teddy bears. I was like, what am I going to do with these? So I decided I'm going to make a teddy bear room. So I had one empty room upstairs. Now people kind of call it our teddy bear horror room because that's kind of what it looks like. Because it's in a spooky section and you walk around, you don't expect it. But when I was decorating this room and people liked the way I did it, I put various furniture in, and that day I was all by myself going back and forth, back and forth. I had everything downstairs in the back. So I was having to go down and get one item, run up the stairs, go all the way back to the back upstairs. Then I'd have to run back down, get the next item. So I did this about 6 or 7 times. I wasn't feeling anything. The last time I had an old student school desk down there, one of those old fashioned wood school desks. So I was like, I'm going to put that in the room. So I carried that thing all the way up the stairs, all the way to the back, walk in the room, and I put it down. And I stood back and I looked at it and I was like, wow, that looks great. Had an old like book on it and everything. So I walk out of the room, not thinking anything. I'm walking back to the stairs, about to go down. And right as I'm about to go down our main stairs, I hear the loud sound of a kid running full steam from the back of the upstairs hallway coming towards me. And we have like 3 steps right there that come up a little bit to the next level. And then you head to the main stairs. Well, he was running so loud. I had my back to all that. I couldn't see him. It just made my back arch when it happened. I was just in such shock. And when I turned around to see what was making the noise, the running noise, I have these little sensor lights on those 3 steps that come up there that come on when you go past. And that's just so people don't trip down those stairs. Those lights came on and then they started flickering, almost like something was messing with the electricity. And then I could hear what sounded like the kid stepping on the steps one at a time, making them creak a little bit. And at that moment, that was too much for me. I turned around. I was like, I can't handle this right now. And I went down the stairs. I sat in my chair by my desk. And I had to shake off the moment. It took me about 30 minutes to get back to a normal feeling. You know, we have kids in the building. There's a rumor. It was the first school in Ballinger also way back in the day. I started thinking maybe that kid just liked the desk. You know, maybe
it
he was
almost
just
sounds like that. He was excited to see it.
Excited.
You know, like I haven't seen a desk like that in forever. And here it is.
Exactly. And that's I laughed it off after a while thinking that's probably what it was. But the actual paranormal moment, it was the moment that grabbed me, you know, because you're just not ready for those things.
And you can definitely tell the difference between a gunfighter walking down yes. the hallway yes. versus a little kid, you know, versus yes. a woman.
Yes, you can tell everything. And again, the building has many stories. There's other history stories we didn't even cover, but anybody can Google the Oak Park and they can just read up on the outlaws. They can read up on everything. It's all out there.
Yeah, it's a real, I did the deep dive. It's very interesting. And it's even more interesting now that I've talked to you today.
I'm glad we had a chance to talk about everything. I've enjoyed this discussion. It's been fun talking about everything.
And that wraps up our conversation about the Old Park Hotel in Ballinger, Texas, with owner Dan LeFave. If you'd like information on tours, ghost hunts, overnight investigations, and the history of the hotel, visit oldparkhotel.com. That's spelled old, OLDE. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. Or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. You can find everything there. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thanks for listening.